Chapter 7. Penumbra. As I studied the number of my opponents just around the corner, I wondered if these criminals were especially powerful or just especially stupid. I couldn't believe that they were so out of touch that they didn't know that Grayville was under Beacon's protection now. Just like I couldn't believe that anyone in this town was dumb enough to commit a crime after the maniac was killed. After all, the maniac had been the top asshole in Grayville, so after Miles had killed him, that should have been a wake-up call to any other criminals or supervillains in town that their days were fucking numbered. But apparently, that wasn't completely the case just yet, and that was definitely something that I would want to talk to Beacon about when I got finished here. Hopefully, this shit was the exception instead of the rule. But whatever the truth of the matter was, right now I just needed to make sure that I stopped the three assholes around the corner before they could hurt anybody. They weren't dressed in any kind of elaborate costume, so there was a chance that they were just petty criminals. But then again, supervillains in Grayville didn't usually put much thought into their outfits, so these three bastards could just as easily have superpowers. As soon as I had arrived back in Grayville, I texted Beacon to tell him I was in town and wanted to chat. So he had promised to see me later this afternoon. Since he was at meetings with investors until then, I figured that I might as well check on the city itself. After I dropped my suitcase off at the Grayville mansion that Beacon had started to use as his own, the first place that I'd gone to was one of the worst places in town. There were a series of abandoned construction sites between Midtown and downtown Grayville, and my parents had warned me to stay away from them for as long as I could remember. The roads around it had all been shut down mid-construction due to budget cuts that the city council never addressed, so there were half-finished bridges and unpaved streets with potholes all throughout it, plus a fuck-ton of creepy buildings that had been abandoned when the city had made it impossible to get there by road. We had called it no man's land as kids, but the truth of the matter was that somebody was always there. The question was just what they wanted. Sometimes it was just a bunch of teenagers who wanted to get high or fuck each other without their parents around, but usually the people who hung out in no man's land were pretty much the scummiest of the scumbags. The Shadow Knight had managed to clean it out a few times, but usually as soon as he cleaned the place out, it filled right back up with villains and criminals the moment that he left. While Miles had been in town, there had been a lot less activity there. But since we had been killing supervillains left and right, it wasn't really a surprise that so many of them had decided to get out of town or just lay low. But now it looked like there were at least a few people here who were up to their old ways, so I would have to make sure that Beacon had the situation under control. Just as soon as I got these three assholes in front of me under control first. When I had arrived in No Man's Land, it hadn't taken me long to float around and find some troublemakers. And since the afternoon was gray and rainy, nobody bothered to look up above them. I floated above the tops of a few of the abandoned buildings and listened for any sounds below me. And when I heard soft laughter from underneath one of the abandoned bridges, I floated down to get a closer look. Almost as soon as I saw the two laughing teenagers who had come here to smoke a little weed, I saw the three assholes on the bridge right above them. The kids looked like trust fund kids who had come to blow off a little steam. And I would have bet anything that was exactly what the three men on the bridge thought, too. The three men all looked like they were armed, and they constantly glanced around themselves as if they expected the cops to pull up at any minute and arrest them for any number of things. And since the teenagers were just kids who also happened to be high, that made them perfect targets for the man on the bridge. I immediately floated out of sight and started to track the movements of these men. I wouldn't do anything unless I knew for sure that they were going to try to hurt these kids, so at first I just followed them as they hurried across the bridge, and then started to sneak down the road that curved around toward the underside of the half-finished bridge. I was just around the corner from them now, and since they were just a handful of footsteps away from the unsuspecting kids, I knew without a doubt that they were about to do something that they would very much regret. I couldn't tell if they had any superpowers, so I just decided to wait until I saw exactly what they were going to do, and that I would strike before they even knew what happened. When they were right behind the two teenagers, all three of them glanced at each other, pulled out their handguns, and started to raise them towards the backs of the kids' heads. Instantly, I flew around the corner until I was about 20 feet behind them. "Hey, you! You three picked the wrong day to be assholes!" The three men all spun around to face me at the same time that the two high-as-fuck teenagers scrambled backward and pulled out their phones. Normally, I wouldn't really want to be recorded, but since the footage might make it on the news later, I decided to let it slide. After all, the more I got myself on the news, the more likely it was that Optimo would see it, and then he would be even more confused about who the hell had killed Roger Barry.
I'm not about to be told what to do by some blonde bimbo.
The man in the middle sneered as he raised his gun toward me.
That's not a blonde bimbo,
one of the kids said behind him.
That's fucking Penumbra! Oh my god.
The other teenager whispered.
This is just like a movie!
My hair was already wet from the rain, so I pushed it back where it would stay out of my face, and then I held up my hands as I floated above the broken concrete. I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just giving you a little bit of advice on what not to do, that's all.
Yeah? Well, fuck you!
The man on the right said, and then he aimed his gun straight at me, too. That's not the most original line, but it still gets the job done, I said with a shrug. What about you on the left? Do you have any last words?
Eat this.
The man on the left growled, just as he raised his own gun and then squeezed the trigger. The other two men opened fire at the same time, and even though the teenagers shrieked in the background, they kept their phones out so they could keep recording. The bullets sped toward me, but once they got within 3 feet of me, they entered the field I was projecting, and they all plunged to the ground with one heavy thud after another as I increased their mass exponentially. The men stared at me, glanced at each other, and then fired again, but just like before, I increased the mass of each bullet as it entered my powers field, so much that one by one, they lost all forward momentum and just plummeted to the ground before they even reached me. It was obvious that the men had started to panic by now, but they kept shooting, so I did the same thing with the next round and then again with the next round of bullets that they fired at me, until the broken concrete was littered with their failed attempts to kill me. They had to be almost at the end of the magazines by now, but I was bored, so I quickly turned my attention to their guns instead of their bullets. I immediately made their weapons exceptionally heavy, so all three assholes had to drop their guns before the sudden extra weight dragged their arms down to the ground. The moment they realized that they didn't have any guns, they squealed and tried to run away. But I just clicked my tongue and shook my head. Too late, boys, I said, and then I flung each of the three bastards straight up into the air. They disappeared into the low cloud cover overhead before I let them fall back down. But then I just whipped them back and forth like fucking ragdolls. The two teenagers crouched down behind a rubble wall as they continued to record me, so I gave them quite a fucking show. I hurled the man who had called me a bimbo into the side of a building hard enough that his skull cracked open like a goddamn watermelon. And then I flung him back in the other direction. His brains leaked out all over the ground like bloody rain. Since there was no way that he could have survived that, I hurled him up over one of the buildings and let him fall somewhere out of sight. After all, I was happy to let the teenagers record me to prove that I was in Grayville, but I didn't really want them to record my execution of these men. Get out of here! I shouted at them. When they didn't move right away, I raised one hand toward them like I was about to force them to go, so they quickly grabbed their shit and ran away as fast as possible. The moment that they were out of sight, I let the other two assholes fall back toward the ground, caught them at the last second, and then tossed them around a few more times to make sure their brains were already good and scrambled before I slammed them into the concrete. As soon as I heard their spines fracture against the broken pavement, I released my hold on them and let my feet come down to the earth again. I moved a little closer to make sure that they were both dead, even though it would have been a fucking miracle for them to have survived that. When I was positive that they hadn't survived, I pushed my blonde hair out of my face again and looked up at the rain clouds above me. I guess they were just especially stupid after all, I said as I shrugged and then turned to walk away. I hadn't even reached the end of the road before I saw two cop cars pull up with their sirens going. The police officers jumped out of their squad cars as soon as they saw me, but I just waved to tell them that everything was okay now.
Penumbra,
one of the cops said.
Holy shit, is that really you?
You bet. Did you get a call or something?
No. We were just on a routine patrol and we saw what looked like a body fly overhead.
Another officer said.
Was that you?
Yeah, there were these three guys who just tried to attack a couple teenagers. Since when do you guys do routine patrols out here?
Since a new head of Slade Industries made a couple phone calls to the city council. Apparently he was very insistent that we start routine patrols around here again.
I knew that beacon wouldn't let us down. It's a good thing, too. Anyway, I've got to fly, but you'll find the bodies of two of the criminals a little further down the street. Let's just say they, resisted and shit.
What about the third guy?
One of the officers asked. Oh, right, I said, and then gestured to the building where I had thrown him. He's somewhere over there. Sorry, I can't be more specific.
That's okay. I'm just glad you saved those kids.
Me too, I said with a smile. You all take care of yourselves, okay? I'll see you around.
You got it, Penumbra. Thanks again.
I waved and then floated up into the air to leave the cops and the crime scene behind. It would be a gruesome find, but somehow I doubted that the officers would mind all that much. After all, it meant that they were safe, so they would be able to go home to their families again tonight. That was a pretty damn good deal, if anybody asked me. After I floated back to where I had left the car, I drove back to the Grayville mansion to wait for Beacon to show up. I was glad to hear that my friend had put some pressure on the city council to start regular patrols in No Man's Land again, and I bet they would suddenly find some money to start repairing the roads around there soon, too. It meant that Grayville was finally on its way to becoming the safe and beautiful city that I knew it could be. We had just needed to get the Shadow Knight out of the way first. Dan Slade had called himself Grayville's protector, of course, but he had really just been part of the problem. He had never tried to kill any of the supervillains that he arrested, no matter how many times he arrested them and they escaped, and no matter how fucked up their crimes were. In fact, the only person that the Shadow Knight had ever tried to kill had been... well, it had been Miles. If that wasn't a perfect example of how fucked up Slade had been by the end, then I don't know what was. But before Miles came along, the Shadow Knight and all the supervillains in Grayville had really just fed off each other. The more he locked them up, the more they broke out, and the more fucked up shit they did, the more Dan Slade had insisted that he needed to stick to his stupid code and not kill anyone. Miles Nelson's code was much better. Bad guys die, good guys live, simple as that. I had tried so hard to meet the Shadow Knight's impossible standards, but he had never really trusted me or used my abilities to help him. It was only after I met Miles that I realized that Dan Slade actually hadn't known how to help me use my powers at all. He had never seen my potential, just like the Wardens. The most that Dan Slade thought I could do was just float around and sometimes lift sort of heavy objects. Then again, that was all that I thought I could do, too. At least before I met Miles. I had no idea just how much potential I had or just how powerful I could be, so I hadn't been able to stand up to the Shadow Knight or to the Wardens when they rejected my application. Of course, if any of them saw my powers now, they would beg me to join them, but that was their mistake. Plus, it was definitely too late for anything like that since Slade was already dead and all the Wardens were about to be too. Well, at least the Wardens who were totally corrupt. I wondered how many of the Wardens would be smart enough to leave the organization while they still could. Just like I was curious how many of them were like Dynamo. Maybe there were a lot of superheroes in Wardens Corp who wanted a way out or had joined with noble intentions, but once they figured out just how fucked up the organization was, they thought it was too late to do anything else. After all, there was a good chance that was how Dynamo would have ended up, if it hadn't been for Miles Nelson. She figured out really quickly how corrupt the Wardens were after she joined them, but by then, she was in so deep that she hadn't been able to see a way out at first. She wanted to help people, just like I did, but the Wardens seemed like the only option to do that with, just like the Shadow Knight had seemed like my only option. Miles had shown both of us that there was a better way to help people, and it didn't have anything to do with sponsorships or Supergram followers or an annual revenue stream. It didn't even have anything to do with some stupid code that meant bad guys could keep doing bad shit because the superheroes were too weak or too stupid to actually do their jobs and kill them. All we had to do was just help them. It seemed so simple now that I thought about it, but it had seemed absolutely impossible just a few months ago. Back then, I would never have even dreamed of killing those assholes who tried to hurt those kids in No Man's Land. I would have tried to arrest them, probably got myself or one of the kids killed in the process, and then even if I had managed to arrest all three, they would have been back on the streets in no time, and they would have done the exact same thing again. Assholes like that always did. Of course, back before I met Miles, I wouldn't have even known how to attack one of the men, much less all three of them at once. It was hard to imagine now that I had ever been unsure of myself or of my powers, but I knew that was the truth of the matter before Miles arrived in Grayville. Sometimes, even though it hadn't been that long ago, I could barely remember what life had been like before I met the billionaire playboy. But then again, I didn't really want to. I couldn't imagine going back to those days now that I knew him or now that I... well, now that I was in love with him. I couldn't help that I was crazy about him. Any woman in her right mind would be too, and that was exactly why Dynamo and Norma were both just as head over heels in love with him as I was. Eileen was too, of course, but since she was an android whose only desire in life was to serve her creator, I wasn't sure if she counted or not. Poor Norma hadn't told Miles how she felt yet, but we all knew about it. Even Miles. When I first met her, I thought she might be so intimidated by Dynamo that she didn't think Miles would ever look at her the way that he looked at the gorgeous black-haired superheroine. After all, I had been a little intimidated by Dynamo myself, but that was all before I knew that Dynamo wasn't really the jealous type and that Miles was too powerful of a man to be satisfied with just one woman. After I spent a little more time with Norma, I realized that wasn't the case for her. She had known Miles long enough to understand that he wasn't a one-woman kind of guy and that he had more than enough stamina to satisfy every single one of us multiple times over. Norma's problem was just that she lacked confidence. I hoped that she would find some confidence in herself sooner rather than later, but I knew that if anyone could help her with that, it was definitely Miles. He had helped me become confident in my own powers and in my own potential, and I knew that just like he had with me, he definitely saw more in Norma than she could see in herself. One of these days, she would figure that out, and then Miles would have the most unstoppable force of badass superheroines, plus one terrifyingly beautiful and deadly android. And then not even Optimo could stop us. When I finally reached the Grayville Mansion, I ran through all of Norma's security measures in my head to make sure that I remembered how to bypass each one. I had already dropped my suitcase off here earlier, and I had managed to get through the security that time, but I didn't want to get cocky and end up dead, so I made sure I was ready before I walked up the front steps. After I carefully overrided each security measure, I successfully entered the mansion without getting electrocuted, skewered, or guillotined. I honestly wasn't sure what was more impressive, the fact that Norma had designed all of these security measures in the first place, or that I had remembered all of her instructions of how to get around them. Once I was inside, I headed straight for the kitchen to down the last bit of orange juice that my friend had, and then I grabbed a kitchen towel to dry off the worst of the rain from my suit and hair. After I was a little drier than before, I sank down onto the couch in the living room and closed my eyes for a few minutes. I needed to change clothes, but I didn't want to miss Beacon when he came home, so I just rested my eyes until I heard a key in the front door lock. As soon as my friend came inside, I popped up my head from the couch, but he didn't see me. He wore a suit and tie, and he carried a small briefcase. But even though he looked professional, it still felt so strange to see him out of his super suit that I almost laughed. "Hey, Beacon," I said, instead of calling him by his real name, Adrian.
"Shit!"
Beacon jumped when he saw me and almost dropped his briefcase.
"I saw your car outside, but somehow you still managed to scare me. How did you bypass all of Norma's security?"
"Oh, she told me how to break past all the safeguards that she left in place. I didn't really want to wait in the rain, so I figured that I might as well let myself inside and wait for you."
"Oh. Oh, shit. You finished the last of the orange juice, didn't you?"
"How did you know?" I grinned.
"Because you always do. You've been doing that for as long as I've known you, Penumbra."
"Well, I can't help that Slade never bought as much orange juice as we needed. He should have known that it's got, like, vitamins and shit, you know? So he, should have kept it in a steady supply and stuff."
"You mean instead of telling us to drink chickpea juice because it would make us stronger?"
Beacon laughed as he loosened his tie and then sat in a chair across from me.
"Yeah, orange juice definitely would have been a better option."
"How were all your investimeetings? Do you feel very big and important yet?"
"Not exactly,"
my friend replied with a smile.
"I'm mostly just more aware of how much there is for me to learn."
"I'm sure you'll get the hang of it in no time. After all, you've got Julian to help you."
"That's true. I'm glad he decided to leave the Shadow Knight and join the winning side, even before Miles killed Slade."
"Me too. It would have been a shame to lose his inventive mind, but it also would have sucked to lose a friend."
"Especially since he was just about the only nice thing about working for the Shadow Knight as long as we did. Yeah, he's been really helpful so far. He even started to design artificial fingers to replace the one that we, blew off his hand."
"Of course he has," I said with a grin. "But seriously, how's everything going now that you took over Slade's company?"
"Really well, actually. It hasn't been that long, but we've already made a lot of good shifts, so I think Grayville's finally back on track."
"I ran into some cops in No Man's Land. They said you basically ordered the city council to start regular patrols there again."
"Well, it wasn't really an order,"
Beacon said as he propped his feet up on the coffee table.
"It was more like a very strong suggestion. Road construction is supposed to start up again there next week, too."
"Damn, you work fast."
"I'm just trying to act like Miles would. He wouldn't take no for an answer, so I won't either."
"I'm really glad. Grayville is going to be a beautiful city by the time you're done with her."
"I'd like to think so,"
Beacon said with a smile.
"But speaking of Miles, what exactly are you doing back here? You didn't really give me a lot of details when you texted, and I just got a news alert that Miles was doing a ribbon-cutting ceremony today that isn't even in Pinnacle City.
Oh, that's just a fake story that Eiling planted in the news. The beauty of Photoshop, you know.
Oh, shit. I guess the article did say that it was a private ceremony, so there weren't any witnesses. So Miles is still in Pinnacle City?
Yep, they all are.
But what about the fact that the evil genius and Norma were spotted?
Decoys. I interrupted and then clapped my hands. Isn't it amazing? Miles made two decoys to look exactly like him and Norma, just to make sure that Optimo doesn't know where we are.
I guess it would be bad if he figured out that you were all in Pinnacle City. Yep, somehow I'm not surprised that Miles came up with something so clever.
And fast, too. His mind is, like, always thinking about the next thing, you know?
Oh, shit. Is that why you're here in Greyville? To throw Optimo off your trail?
Yep. I even got some video footage of myself in No Man's Land. So that should probably hit the news before too long, and then Optimo will think I'm still in Greyville, like I never actually left.
What about Dynamo? If Miles and Norma have decoys, and you're kind of like your own decoy, won't Optimo still wonder where Dynamo is?
Miles thinks that Optimo will assume that Dynamo is just with him, or that she's just hiding out somewhere because she's afraid that Optimo will actually find her. So he's not really worried about that.
Yeah, that makes sense. After all, Optimo thinks that Dynamo has been totally corrupted by Miles, so I'm sure he just assumes that she goes wherever he does now.
Yeah, I think that's the idea.
I guess Optimo's too full of himself to realize that he's the one who's really fucking corrupt.
Exactly.
But hold on. What video footage of yourself did you get in No Man's Land? And what were you doing out there anyway?
I was looking for trouble. And I definitely fucking found it. I actually wanted to talk to you about that, just to make sure that crime rates haven't suddenly skyrocketed since we left town or anything. As soon as I told him what happened, Beacon shook his head.
Thanks for taking care of him, Penumbra. But that's definitely the exception in Greyville these days, not the rule. Since Miles killed the maniac, crime rates are the lowest they've been, and... well, they're just the lowest they've ever been.
That's great.
It really is.
Beacon said with a smile.
I think the citizens of Greyville are finally starting to feel a little bit hopeful about the future.
It's about time.
But don't get me wrong. I'm definitely still going to get the city council to use Miles' CDS technology here. Crime rates are down, but I want to make damn sure that they stay that way. And the CDS is definitely the best way to do that.
That's very true. I'm glad everything is going so well here. Now, we just have to take care of Optimo and the Wardens, and then Pinnacle City will finally be on the right track, too.
Well, if I know Miles, then I'm sure that Optimo will be out of the picture soon. But I'm glad we get a chance to catch up, Penumbra.
Me too, I said as I stretched my arms overhead.
And listen, obviously you're welcome to stay here as long as you need to. I'll even make sure to get some extra orange juice the next time I run to this store.
You're a real pal, Beacon, I said with a grin. I think I'm going to go ahead and get changed if you don't mind.
Be my guest.
I headed up to my usual room, where I had already plopped my suitcase down onto the bed. As I slipped out of my damp clothes, I put on a pair of shorts and a hoodie before I pulled my wet hair up into a loose bun on the top of my head. I thought for a second that I might put some of my clothes in the dresser, but I decided to just leave them in the suitcase for now. After all, I wasn't sure how long I would need to be here before I could return to Miles, but it felt like good luck to just leave my clothes in the suitcase. Beacon was right when he said it wouldn't take Miles long to come up with our final plans against Optimo, so I was sure that I would be needed back in Pinnacle City in no time. As I zipped up the suitcase again and set it on the floor beside the bed, I wondered how everything was going back in the cellar, and if they had found a way to splice Optimo's powers permanently to Miles' DNA yet. If they hadn't figured it out yet, they certainly would soon, but I was still impatient for it to happen. Still, if anyone was going to figure it out, it would be Miles Nelson. I just couldn't wait to be by his side when he turned Optimo's own powers against him and finally gave the smug superhero what he deserved. It would be one hell of a victory, and after Optimo was gone, nothing would ever stand in our way. We wouldn't let it.